Welcome to today's Middle Level Educator, a podcast from National Middle School Association. In today's episode, NMSA Assistant Executive Director Jack Berkmeyer is joined by Kim Campbell, classroom teacher and member of NMSA Site-Based Services Speakers Cadre, for a discussion on practical ways to motivate today's young adolescents.
Hey, Kim, I first want to thank you for having a little conversation with me around student motivation, which I know for first-year teachers, teachers have been teaching for about 5 to 7 years, and veteran teachers, that's a huge issue, isn't it, dealing with student motivation?
Oh, absolutely. Motivation is critical, especially with kids today. So it's really important that we find ways as teachers to find different things that work with kids to motivate them.
And, you know, it's not easy to motivate a middle school student, is it?
No, it's not. But you know when it happens, it makes you want to stay in the business forever because they get so excited. That's the beauty of the middle school student.
And you're an energetic teacher. You know, you and I are very similar. We'll probably go in there every single day, giving it the best we got, you know. But my question is, what really motivates middle school students?
You know, I think there are several factors. But as we know, you know, every child is different. So trying to find ways to motivate every child is certainly a challenge. But I think one thing that's really important is finding material that's relevant, that's really taking the time to find topics that kids would be interested in. And I think also another big one is when you create your lessons is you have to make sure that you understand that the new middle school student is not inspired always by the 45-minute lecture. And you have to create lessons that allow kids to move, allow them to interact with one another, and allow middle school kids to work cooperatively together. And I think that also it's also important that you have classrooms where kids are safe, and how do you set that up? And naturally, the fit for kids today is technology, you know, bringing in technology that kids can relate to. So those are just some practical ways that you can kind of motivate kids.
You know, it's funny, though. You said something right off the bat about materials and looking for stuff that adolescents are really into. The thing is that I hear so many teachers telling me this over and over again, you know, that they're so bound to the curriculum and they're so bound to standards that they hold up that shield of standards and feel like they can't be creative anymore. Is that true? I mean, do you see that happening? Do you do that as a classroom teacher? Are you stifling your creativity because of standards?
You know, I think that's a concern that teachers have, but I think with middle school kids is you've got to grab them and you've got to create those lessons that are engaging. And when you do that, you can get to that content and that standard-based teaching that you need to do. But I think teachers have forgotten because they become so focused on teaching to the standards that the kids aren't getting it. They're not understanding it. It's not intriguing to them. So you have to look at it creatively and how you can bring in those, whether it be something on United Streaming, that you bring in a video clip that relates to your content area, whether it be something on YouTube that you can bring in a clip that you can show them. It's just we have to step back and look at it. You know, you can teach kids, but if they don't understand it, it doesn't matter that you stood up there and got through your content or got through your standard-based information mm-hmm. because they haven't understood it. They're not engaged. They're not with you. So you have to be creative in how to bring in that content that's necessary for that, but also do it in a way that kids are going to find interesting.
How important is it that a middle school teacher be a little emotionally unstable?
I think it's critical. I think it's important.
I tell people you should look like you could snap at any moment.
That's right. That's important.
You know, but I had the same problem as a classroom teacher that I'm sure you did. What about that unmotivated student? You know, the one that just, you know, they can do the work. You know, they know how to do the work. They just refuse to do it. As a teacher, what do you do?
Well, that is such a big question. And it is, that I think is the most challenging part of a teacher when you have a student that you know can do it and chooses not to. And, you know, we run into those types of kids all the time. I think a couple strategies that I have tried to use, and some have been successful and some haven't, but one is you got to build a relationship with that kid. You got to take the time. You know, and the thing about that I find is that all teachers know that relationships are important, but if you get teachers to talk about what is it exactly they do, what are concrete examples of things they do, teachers have trouble articulating what that is. Because, again, like you said earlier, it's about they get so focused on that content that they forget about taking time in class to build those relationships. So the first thing with the unmotivated student is finding out what is it that makes that kid tick. And a concrete example that you can do is maybe when there's work time, you head that direction where that kid is and just sit down and find out, maybe that kid is totally into skateboarding. And then that night, go home and read something about some skateboarder and then bring that up to him. And then the other part is certainly, what Carol Ann Tomlinson would say is differentiation, bringing those things and giving those kids choices to explore what it is they want to explore. Another practical thing that I do with kids is when I'm in the hallways, I do what's called walk and talk. And I'm on my prep period or I'm heading towards my class and I have a kid, I'll ask them to just kind of walk with me. And I talk to them about, hey, what's going on in your life? What's happening? Because kids today want you to have relationships with them, especially middle school kids. And teachers that build strong relationships with kids can motivate them better, have less discipline problems. It is tremendous amount of time it takes you to build relationships will pay off tenfold down the road in every aspect of your teaching.
It's interesting. I always deal with colleagues that will say things like, well, 10 years ago, kids were more motivated, or kids did this, or 10 years ago, kids were, whatever it is. I always hate the comparisons, about kids from the past versus the kids from today. First of all, you can't change the kids you get today.
That's right.
You can't do anything about that. But, what do you think that students are less motivated now than they were 10 years ago?
I don't know. I've been teaching now for 17 years, and so I've seen the change in the student, but I wouldn't necessarily say it's because they're less motivated. I think they're just motivated differently. They call this generation the digital native, that they are technologically advanced. I mean, let's face it, teachers that have been teaching for as many years as I have, when we have technical problems, we look to the kids first, and half the time they can fix it.
Yeah, but that was generationally back. I remember going up and helping my teacher thread the film projector, because, she couldn't, thread
right.
the film projector,
Right.
So I think adolescents have always been ahead of teachers in regards to technology.
Yep.
And I think it's worse now. I think that you're absolutely right. We're so used to being teachers who know everything because we're teachers.
Right.
But
right.
when it comes to technology, we aren't even touching the surface.
Oh, no.
And it's interesting because I get to the point now where even watching like CNN or Fox News, I get frustrated because you got the scrolling going on at the bottom. You got Wolf Blitzer's head. You got the Situation Room freaks me out because there's like 19 pictures in there. There's
right.
the stock reports, the weather. I'm trying to read the thing at the scrolling and I miss what Wolf Blitzer says. But yet an adolescent walks in, goes, oh, it's 52 degrees. We dropped another bomb and Wolf Blitzer needs a haircut.
right.
And they can see that, yeah. They can see that in 10 seconds or less while I'm trying to read the scrolling at the bottom of the top.
Right, right. But I'm certainly not, schooled in all this, but, latest brain research out now is saying that the brain for this child is wired differently mm-hmm. because of just what you talked about, that they're able to do that. They can multitask. I was just reading a book the other day about how bringing in pop music and playing music while kids are studying is showing that that pop music, gets them their feet moving, gets everything else moving, the endorphins start taking off, and they start to do better, And so for me, growing up, we never had music like that. It was quiet time. And so it's different in how kids can task or do all those things they need to do.
And plus, we were taught completely differently than how kids think today. I was of the era, and I'm sure you are as well, the Madeline Hunter era. All your college coursework was on Madeline Hunter, which was very methodical. It was very set up. But yet kids are all over the place in their thinking while we're still being very methodical and very much here, 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 versus our kids can do multitasking, do three things at once. They can text, talk, carry on a conversation, check an email, instant message, all while we're trying to write on the board.
Right.
And
I think that's extremely intimidating for teachers, the veteran teacher. Do I turn on the radio or some music? And what if I see them kind of humming? Are they not learning? And trying to just relax in that environment. And, for teachers like that have been in it a while, we need staff development to help teach us how to do these things. But technology, wow, it's so intimidating.
You know, you said this earlier too, and I think most people kind of grimace when someone says the important thing is to build relationships. You know, I also think you have to know your clientele.
Right.
Which means, you know, there are things that they're into that we don't even claim to understand. You know,
right.
That generation gap was what, 10 years? You know, they say a generation gap was every 10 years. I think it's every four.
Yeah, you know, getting that way.
Yeah, in regards to technology. I mean, do you know of anything that teachers do to kind of stay – I hate to use the word hip because it's such an old word, but
right,
to stay
right.
in tune to what adolescents are doing? Like, do you have a couple concrete ideas on how to kind of stay in tune to what young adolescents like?
One of the things that I read – I can't remember what book it was in, but you got to kind of watch the TV shows. I mean, I know it sounds silly because some of the shows are so horrible to be watching.
Mm-hmm.
But even watching what is happening on TV and what are these kids watching, and, you know, finding some books that you can get your hands on and talking to your kids. You know, when I first started bringing in YouTube clips, I didn't have any idea how to even hook them up. And I was really nervous about, okay, these iTunes clips, you know, what exactly is on it? Because we know everything is on there. So I implemented this little thing to help build relationships. I said, all right, everybody needs to bring their favorite iTube clip, and as long as it's appropriate, okay? And this was, and a lot of them didn't had nothing to do with my content area. I know teachers do not want to hear that, but it took me, I would show one a day. It took about some 30 seconds. It was a way to have the kids show me what they're watching, as long as it was appropriate. I always screened it first. They would come in the morning, put it up. I would look at it, and then we'd show it and talk about laughing together as a class, having fun together as a class, kids feeling like, wow, you know, look what Miss Campbell's doing. She's bringing in YouTube clips, you know, all those types of things. And then the second thing is, I'm really lucky at my school, is that we have one of our strands is on technology. So we have a technology integration specialist that provides us with technology skills and the things we need to bring into our classroom. So I don't know if that's kind of what you're looking for, but
no,
there's a couple ways I've done it.
That's perfect. You know? And, you know, you've gone back to this twice, so I want you to do a follow-up on this. You keep talking about, you know, when you just go and sit next to a kid or sit and walk with a kid down the hallway.
Right.
Isn't it so true that if you just sit next to a group of kids, like if they're doing a map activity or they're doing some activity, they'll sit and tell you everything and anything about their life, some things you don't even want to know.
Oh, absolutely.
And stuff, but they're very open if you give them that chance and they feel safe. In other words,
yep.
That you're a person that they can talk to.
Yep.
And that is that key to building that relationship. If you don't build the relationship, if they don't like you, they're not going to work for you.
Oh, absolutely. And I think teachers sometimes forget about that. And when I go out and do workshops and I talk a lot about relationships and give practical ways to build relationships with kids, I get the question all the time, you know, I don't have time to do that. I have too much to teach. But what some don't understand is that taking that time allows me to move faster through the content because I don't have the discipline problems. The kids will work harder. You know, they did a poll, I don't know who did it, but they asked the question was a Gallup poll of, do kids work harder for some teachers than others? 76% said absolutely. And when they asked them why, one of the number one answers was because the teacher cared about us. So they're producing because we take the time to build that relationship, do those community building activities in your class that might take 5 minutes out of your content, but you'll pick it up later because you won't have the discipline stuff you have to get through. Because they're motivated. They want to be in your class.
And you're absolutely right. You know, it's that relationship and understanding what adolescents are into. And I'm with you in the fact that if you ever make a reference of whether it's a television show, an appropriate pop culture reference, or whatever it is, they look at you like, first of all, how do you know that?
Yeah.
And you just want to look at them and say, see this rock right here? Every once in a while, it's lifted up. I crawl out and I see the world. And I say, hey, world. And then I crawl back in. You know, they have no clue that you shop at Target. That
right.
You know, that you go to the mall, that you, you know, go to the same stores they go to. I mean, they have no clue in many cases. They think that your life revolves around that school. But as we all know, we have lives outside of school. And
right.
That's where we find out what's going on with the culture. We go to movies. We love to talk about those, and it's tough because there's some great movies that are R-rated movies that you can't talk about because they're not appropriate, but you know your kids are going to see them and you're seeing them because the kid will make a reference and you'll
right.
go, And you'll go, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Right, right. You know, I have to tell you a funny story that happened just kind of about that. You know, I try to listen to the music that the kids listen to. Some of it's rather painful, but but some of it I like, you know. Yeah. And so I'll come into class at times and start singing a really popular song. And they will look at me like, just like what you're talking about, you have got to be kidding me. And so one day I was sitting there, and this young man walked into my class. I never had him in class, but he walked in, and he said, hi, my name's, you know, Jackson. I can't remember what his name was. And he said, I know what your favorite song is. I said, you do? He said, yeah, it's Pocketful of Sunshine. And it was this popular song that's out. He said, yeah, I know, because the kids were talking about you were singing it in class. And it was that kid and I connected right away, because I was, as you said earlier, being hip. And I've had a lot of teachers ask me about that. You know, do you really sing those songs? I'm like, yeah, you know, I pick up a few of them and sing them, and they just think I'm all that and more.
Yeah.
And I've just connected with them in their genre is what I've done.
Because we used to be cool. You know what I mean? When we were younger. Good God, we would drive down the road and listen to, you know, Bang Your Head, you know, and rock out. And now suddenly, you know, the easy listening station is more appealing than you're like, I kind of like Neil Diamond, you know.
I love Neil Diamond.
Yes.
I mean, come on.
And you're going, how do they listen to that stuff? I don't get the lyrics at all. But
that's
part of that generation gap that's going to exist, you know.
Yeah.
So the other part about student motivation, what do you think is kind of overlooked in regards to student motivation as far as from the teacher's point of view?
Oh, I think without a doubt it's the teacher themselves. I mean, I think it's, you know, I mean, I love what I do, but I also know that it's very hard work, and teachers' caseloads are getting larger. Kids are coming to schools without the necessary skills. Then we have No Child Left Behind, pressure placed on us. And it's hard for a teacher to stay motivated. And yet I think at times we overlook that. And I think one of the people that does overlook it is the principal, and how important that principal is in helping that teacher stay motivated, and making sure that principal taps into the talents of all the teachers, not just the superstars. Because I think sometimes superstar teachers feel like they're carrying the burden, and then your teachers that the principal doesn't go to feels like they're not as valued. And so I think it's, you know, I think the principal plays a really critical role, and I think one of the ways that principals can help teachers, and I know this is difficult for some schools, but is to allow those teachers and find ways for those teachers to go to staff development or to go to conferences and go listen to a Debbie Silver who gets you all jazzed up, you know, or Jack Berkmeyer who's going to get you all fired up.
I agree with the second. The first, you know, I do not. I don't agree.
Yeah,
with the
I understand.
First.
I understand the history there, and I know that you two are seeking counseling to get through that. But that's our next 20-minute podcast. But I think it's important that we find ways to keep teachers energized, and that is providing them and treating them to say, you know what, we're going to cover your expenses to go to this conference. Mm-hmm. And I know that's hard because teachers or schools don't have the money to do that, but they've got to find other ways to keep those teachers motivated, because everything that kids – I had the wonderful opportunity, and if schools aren't doing this, they really need to, but – we are at our school, our demographics are changing, and we are, for the first time as a suburban school, being confronted with face-to-face with the achievement gap. Achievement gap's been around a long time, but it hasn't really affected our school as it is in the last probably 5 years. So we as the staff decided to bring in a random group of kids, and these kids happen to be kids of color, but it certainly could be a random group of kids. And we bought them pizza, and we brought them in over lunch, and we just asked them some questions. And one of the questions that we asked was like that Gallup poll, you know, do you do well for some teachers than others? And all of them said yes. And the number one reason was they used, in kid language, we like teachers who are pumped up about their subject area. You know, we like teachers who are fun, teachers that make us laugh, teachers that are relaxed. And I think it's extremely critical that we find ways to keep our teachers feeling pumped up about what they're doing. Kids are telling you know.
You just need to listen.
Like.
You just need to listen. That's true.
That's right.
Well, hey, when we become ruler of education, which I think you and I
tomorrow?
Can do. I think next week.
We've
got to ease
into
it.
Okay, I'm a little busy this week.
And I think we'll just pass a law which says if you don't want to be there, get out. We'll find you another job. But unfortunately, it doesn't work that way, does it?
Yeah, it doesn't.
Well, hey, I appreciate us talking a little bit about student motivation. And thanks again. And we love the ideas. Thanks, Kim.
Visit www.nmsa.org for additional resources on motivating young adolescents. Thank you for joining us on today's Middle Level Educator.